chapter 1. We'll begin in James chapter 1. We'll read verses 19 and 20. We might read another passage from James here in just a little bit, but for the majority of our study tonight, we'll just be going throughout the book of James, and you can follow along with us. We'll just be making some remarks concerning what he wrote. James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 19, he said, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." The Word of God instructs us in what we must do in order for our souls to be saved. James gives us here, specifically in verses 19 and 20, the formula that can be viewed from many different angles. He reads it, or writes it rather, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, of which, he says, will result in the righteousness of God. It is the righteousness of God. Others are slow to hear. And those who are slow to hear, many are swift to speak, though they might be slow to anger. And essentially, they live lives of, "I'll say whatever comes to mind." Others still may be slow to hear and slow to speak, yet they're swift or quick to anger. They harbor feelings inside and hold on to them. And on an occasion, you'll have those who are swift to anger, who lash out. They lash out towards others. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, though, give us not only this formula by which we are to live and it result in the righteousness of God, but it is a theme that will pervade the rest of the epistle of James. And so we want to study these themes under the guidance of James and see what he says concerning these things. He begins in James chapter 1, verse 21, speaking of what it means to be quick to hear. Being quick to hear means doing good works as a result of one's hearing the Word of God. When one hears the Word of God, it causes one to do certain things. That action that takes place, the doing of good works, begins, verse 21, the first part of it, with getting rid of the bad that is present. Get rid of the things that are evil in your life. And when you get rid of those things, you'll quickly discover that there is an empty space. There is a place to be filled. And so he very quickly, in the end of verse 21, says that doing good works continues with putting something in the place of those bad things. If you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45, he talked about an evil spirit that invaded or lived within a man. And when he was put out of the man, he went around looking for another place to be. When bad things are put out of your life, they'll find some place else to be. But if they go around and they don't find another place to be and to exist, they'll come right back to you. Because if you don't replace the bad with something good, they'll find your place well kept, ready for them to live and abide once again. In essence, more evil will find the place of the bad things. And so you must not only get rid of the bad, but you must replace the bad with good. Doing good works continues then with the actual doing of the good things when put in their proper place, James would say in verse 22. And then to illustrate this, as well as really illustrate all of the book of James, he gave this illustration, verse 23. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. To be blessed in what we do, we must be quick to hear. And as we are quick to hear, God's Word will lead us to do good works. Specifically, doing works that will exclude partiality. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 13, James readers have been guilty of showing favoritism. They're treating the rich visitors with respect, great respect, as he would say it, and treating the poor visitors with little or no respect. James has a hard time understanding this. He has a hard time understanding why it is the case that they're behaving this way, specifically because the rich are the very ones who persecuted them and ridiculed their Savior. So in James chapter 2 and verse number 8, in essence, James says, I don't have to understand. I don't have to understand why you treat the rich with favor and the poor with dishonor. I don't have to understand why you are the way you are. I just need to instruct you simply to fulfill the Lord's royal law that's found in the Scriptures. Remember that breaking this law means that you have broken all the law. Verse 10. In essence, you need to show mercy because to show no mercy is to receive no mercy. We would all readily recognize our need for mercy, and thus James would say, then show it. Show your mercy to others. Show your need for mercy. And as you do so, integrate your faith with works. James 2, beginning in verse 14, James contrasts this having a head faith with having a head, heart, and hand faith. A head faith, he says, verse 14 through 20, is a faith that is empty faith. It attempts to minister to the poor by pious words, not accompanied by works. Head faith without works is what demons have, verse 19. He even asks the question, do you think that it's enough just to believe that there is a God? Well, even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. Head faith is faith only, verse 20. What James is aiming for is one who is quick to hear ought to have a head, heart, and hand faith. Verses 21 through 26, he gives two examples. He says, Abraham proved his faith by his willingness to offer up his son Isaac. Rahab had faith. Rahab proved her faith by protecting the two Israelite spies. And so we could almost hear James asking us the question, what proves your faith? If it is here and no one can see it, what good is it? But if it is here and it is here, James says it will be seen here. It'll be seen in what you do. And so, one who is quick to hear is one who becomes an effectual doer of the word. But being slow to speak, James says that there are some things we need to understand. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says you need to understand that controlling the tongue is about nearly impossible. A tongue is to the body what a bridle is to a horse or a rudder is to a ship. The tongue controls the whole body. It's like a spark, which though it is very small, can destroy a great forest. In verse 6 of chapter 3, he explains that the tongue is to be set on fire by hell itself, utterly corrupting and destroying its owner when it is not controlled. You won't be able to control it completely. We've tried, James would say. But if you don't control it at all, there is no end to its destruction. While we can control the beast, control the horse, control the ship, we have not been able to control the tongue. The tongue tries to do two things at once. It tries to praise God and curse people who are made in the very image of God. It cannot do these two things simultaneously. Fresh water and bitter or salt water cannot flow from the same spring. A fig tree cannot bear olives, and a grapevine cannot produce figs. In essence, what you have is what you get. If you have a grapevine, you get grapes. If you have a fig tree, you get figs. If you have fresh water, you have fresh water. If you have bitter water, you have bitter water. If you control the tongue as best you can, you have a controlled tongue. If you leave your tongue uncontrolled, you have an uncontrollable fire on your hands. Being slow to speak also means acting wisely before speaking. Notice James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13 and going through verse 18. He says, to control the tongue, the owner must always allow God's wisdom. There it is. Hearing the word of God leads to one's actions. God's wisdom to be in control. The wisdom of God, he says, is first pure, verse 17, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, that is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. Boy, those are some virtues we would love to have and to see in others. Verse 18, he says, this is how you have it. The seed whose fruit is righteousness, the seed that produces what you're looking for, the desired fruit, is sown by peace by those who make peace. If you want to have it and see it in others, plant the seed of it in your life. Let it take root, and when it sprouts up in your life and brings forth and produces these characteristics, not only will you have them in your life, but you'll begin to see them in the lives of others. The owner cannot allow his or her tongue to be influenced by Satan, because the tongue that is influenced by Satan, he says in verse 14, has bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in the heart. It's self-seeking. Furthermore, it's arrogant. It lies. And not only does it lie, he says it lies against the truth. Lies against the truth. There is no lie in truth. So for one to be influenced by Satan and to lie against the truth, they've lost before they've even gotten started. James therefore says, verse 15, this wisdom, this type of thinking, is not that which comes down from above. Rather, it is earthly, it's natural and sensual, it's even demonic or devilish, depending on your translation of verse 15. Verse 16, he would say, where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Wow. James, you're really telling us what's wrong with our world today. We're not slow in speaking. We're too quick to speak and too slow to hear. But then he moves on in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, to speak of being slow to anger. Being slow to anger means solving conflict through humility. He would begin this context by saying that the root of conflict is envy and pleasures. The things we want and the things we pursue. Envy and pleasures produce many evil fruits. Chapter 4, follow along verse 1. Constant fighting and quarrels are produced from envy and pleasures. Chapter 4, verse 2, the first part of it, murder is produced by envy and pleasures. Envy and pleasures produce a total breakdown of prayer in verse 2 and verse 3. Those who give in to envy and pleasures stop asking God for spiritual things to be used for spiritual benefit. Instead, they start asking God for sinful things, things that they want for them to spend on their self-pleasures. And James says this leads to world lovers, those who love the world, verse 4. Grievers of the Holy Spirit, verse 5. Those who slander one another, verses 11 and 12. And they will even go as far as to boast about their future, verse 13, and then also in verses 16 and 17. James, again, you're telling us what's wrong with our world. The solution, James says, is to humble self. Verse 6 and verse 10, God will give you grace when you humble yourself. James 4 and verse 6, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And God will lift you up. Verse 10, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. When you submit to God and resist the devil, you give God exactly what He desires. You give God exactly what He needs to come into your life and work on you. You give Him a welcome into your life in which He will have the opportunity to work on you and work through you to bring about His will. As one humbles himself or herself, he or she should submit to God. And as one submits to God, he's instructed to resist the devil. In resisting the devil, one is led to repentance. Repenting of his sinful past, his evil ways, his evil thinking. And once one has humbled himself or humbled herself, they must depend upon God for the future rather than themselves. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. All plans should be preceded by if the Lord wants us to. James worded it this way, verse 15, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. James, you've told us an awful lot about why our world is the way it is. We're too quick to speak. We're too quick to get angry and not quick enough to just listen, to hear. In essence, what James is really saying is a problem that our entire world has, but it's a problem that even Christians have at times. And so James writes to Christians and he gives us a how-to book on Christian living. He offers us instruction and exhortation on how to handle what we are facing, on how to help others who are experiencing similar problems, problems that all of us face. And he says that as if the trials themselves were not bad enough, back up to James chapter 1, before verse 19, and James points out that there are dangers that come along with them. There are trials that come into our lives. And those trials which we face bring with them many dangers that can lead us to speak too quick and to become angry all too fast. So James writes, James 1, 19, this you know, you're living it. You know this to be true, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Have you gotten things out of order? Have you been slow to hear and swift to speak and slow to wrath? Have you been slow to hear, slow to speak, but swift or quick to wrath or anger? Or maybe you've been slow to hear and swift to speak and swift to get angry. the solution is the same. In short, it's James chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 10. To humble yourselves in the presence of God and be obedient to His will. The more and more I read and study God's Word, the more and more I find that our simple problems boil down to us not being quick to hear. And the solution to all of our problems is just as simple. It's humbling ourselves before God and being obedient to it. As simple as it may be, as simple as it sounds, it's hard for us as humans to do because we tend to get in the way. And so James writes, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If you find tonight that you're in a situation in which you've been too quick to speak, too quick to get angry, the simple solution is to humble yourself. If you've been quick to hear, James would say, then be a doer. Be a doer of the Word. Be a doer of the things you've heard. Be a doer of those things, and you'll quickly find that there's more good in this world than there is bad. But you got to look for it. And so James encourages us. And tonight, if you need to respond to Christ, you need to put Christ on in baptism, we would encourage you with everything that we have. If you need to respond to Him to be restored, we would assist you as best that we can and go to the throne room of God together with you to seek that restoration. But in order for those things to happen, you must be a hearer of the Word and a doer. Be a doer as we stand and as we sing.